This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, joined by Darshan Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier we were discussing how educators are coping, you know, in this new normal with all the upheavals affecting tertiary education in Malaysia. But now in our second story, quite a different turn, and we have a social media post running on it.
Yes. So we are asking you, you know, we are saying women are more often labeled high maintenance compared to men. So we are asking, do you find that there are some words or phrases that are subtly sexist? So you can take that poll over on our Twitter at BFM Radio. And right now, 73% of y'all say yes, while 27% of y'all say no. So you can keep taking that poll over on at our Twitter account and leave some comments down below as well. Alternatively, you can send us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899.
So the reason why we're talking about this is because last week I came across this tweet by American television producer and screenwriter Monica Beletsky, who tweeted, and I'll quote her tweet here, "Reading the Mariah Carey stuff, is high maintenance ever used to describe men, or do they mostly get to be detail-oriented, visionary, and know what they want?" So now reading that then led me on a search for the news that she was referring to, which was actually an interview that Mariah Carey did with UK news portal The Guardian on the 5th of October. So that interview was, talking to her about her newly released memoir. And during the interview, Mariah was asked if she thought she's high maintenance, to which she replied, and I'll paraphrase a bit here because, you know, we're a family-friendly radio station.
I'm glad you decided to do that, yes.
And to quote her, she said, "You know what? I don't care. I'm high maintenance because I deserve to be at this point. That might sound arrogant, but I hope you frame it within the context of coming from nothing. If I can't be high maintenance after working so hard my entire life, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize we all had to be low maintenance."
I love her.
Yeah. And just looking at Mariah's career, there's no denying she's worked hard to get to the point she's at now as one of the most successful singer-songwriters of all time. Over the past four decades, she's sold more than 200 million records and has had 19 singles reach number one on the US charts, with only the Beatles holding the record at 20 singles. So many of her songs are widely known and played. She's also made a name for herself as an actress and collaborated with many other superstars in the music world. But she's also been widely described as a quote-unquote diva and also high maintenance by many in the entertainment industry, from when she denied knowing Jennifer Lopez the time, you know, she explained having a chaise lounge in her kitchen because she has a rule against sitting up straight, to the
sorry,
yeah, even saying it, you know, it just cracks me up, to the numerous times she's been late for an interview. Incidences like these have created a specific image of her. But Mariah Carey is not one to shy away from being called a diva, and this latest interview with The Guardian shows that she embraces this because she knows she deserves it.
Yes, and going back to the tweet you mentioned at the start, Sue Ann, you know, it does seem like we tend to see more women, whether they're superstars like Mariah Carey or anyone else in society, to be called quote-unquote high maintenance compared to men. Just do a quick Google search and that will unearth articles and posts written on why calling women high maintenance can be problematic and often links to expectations that women are supposed to behave in a particular way. So when someone is called high maintenance, it implies that the person is difficult to deal with, that they should aspire to be, you know, low maintenance and to not require much from your partner, especially in relationships. So high maintenance is used in a variety of contexts, you know, from one's physical, emotional, or even financial needs. But it also revolves around the idea that, you know, one half of the relationship has needs deemed by the other half as exceeding the so-called norm.
Yeah. And in an Huffington Post article, psychotherapist Armil Philpott from the British Association of Counseling and Psychotherapy said that to call out your partner for being, again, quote-unquote, high maintenance is to essentially shift responsibility when you refuse to meet their emotional needs. Instead of taking responsibility to resolve any difficulties, they prefer to label you as the problem instead.
So to get more insights into this on, you know, whether labels with negative connotations can be harmful, we have on the line with us Sivanandithanindaran, Executive Director of the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Centre for Women, also known as ARRO. So thanks for joining us, Siva. So it's not uncommon for us to hear the term high maintenance being used to refer to someone, but we do hear it more often in reference to women rather than men. So why do you think that is?
Yeah, the thing is, I think this is an idea rooted in the property rights of women, you know, and historically for hundreds of years, basically, you know, women had a lack of control, you know, over both productive and non-productive resources. Okay, so and this was whether you were lived in the urban area or in the rural setting, this was apparent, and it placed women at a disadvantage. Okay, in many of the areas, right? So hence, women were only able to access security of a home or survive, have daily expenses taken care of, or access even economic opportunities through men, you know, either the father provided or the husband provides, or in later life, you know, the son provides. So the women were kind of maintained, you know, through the estate of their father, their husband, or their son, and their economic status was very much bound by the men's economic status, the men in their lives, you know. So that's basically, I think, where it comes from. And that's why even till today, we carry forward the idea that women are maintained by their husbands.
So if we look at what it's like today, you know, when someone, especially a woman, is called high maintenance, what does that mean?
I had to actually kind of search and see, you know, what does it mean to be a high maintenance woman? And then it may well be that, you know, kind of applies to myself as well, because I read that a woman who spends a lot of, may spend a lot of money on herself, or, you know, she may buy material things that people may find, you know, exceptionally unnecessary, perhaps, you know, has and requires a lot of attention, right? And a high standard of living. So apparently this is in reference to women being high maintenance when they want or need all of these things to survive. So again, this relates back to, you know, the historical thing, right? This old idea, women are maintained by the men, and the men have to spend for these things, right? And men need to see if they can afford this type of woman and decide whether they can afford this type of woman. So the second thing is, it also comes from another idea. So it's not only property rights, there's this concept of coverture. So in Europe and England and America, they used to have this where this idea where in legal terms, a woman and a man were bound together in a marriage. They were not a separate entity. You know, they were not a man and a woman in a marriage. They became one entity, right? And this is still true, you know, in many ways. So many women inside the household or in the family, if they're in a marriage, they're considered one entity with that household or one entity with their husband, right? So this is like, in a household, the resources, who should they go to? So primarily they are going to the husband and the children, and women very often put themselves, you know, last in getting those resources, whether those resources are food or time or money resources, right? And this is like kind of also held up in culture and traditions and belief systems, where, you know, women are glorified for sacrificing, right? And the self-sacrificial nature is like often considered like, you know, the personification of womanhood. And, you know, that the woman sacrifices her time to look after her family, sacrifices money to look after her family, sacrifices herself, you know. So I think that so a high maintenance seems to mean that a woman who demands these resources for herself is then termed as high maintenance.
That's really interesting, because in reading up about this, I've come across articles and tweets that mention how if men behave that same way, they wouldn't be called, again, high maintenance, but instead they are said to, you know, they are said to, quote unquote, know what they want, or, you know, words like cultured are used, which are very different to what women are described as.
No, exactly. Because, you see, it is the man's right, you know, to kind of demand that he has time for himself, that when he goes into office, that he's able to, you know, wear really beautiful shirts and a nice pair of shoes. And that kind of denotes success and accomplishment, right? So, but a woman who may spend the same amount of money on her dress or at her shoes is then considered a woman who is high maintenance, right? So the double standard is very clear in that one, you know. So, but we never really look like, you know, how do systems of the world, you know, so, and I'm sure that you have already read, and there's been so much spoken about it, especially, you know, after the adoption of the Sustainable Development Goals, where you have this unpaid care work of women, right? So all of these things that women do in their households and in society, you know, care of the sick, care of the children, educating the children, the housework, and all of it actually goes to maintain the house, right? And all of this is not numerated. It's done by women, and it is not counted in the GDP. It's not counted as part of their worth. So if you, even if you look at women at the amount of resources that they may generate, regardless of whether they earn the money or not. So a woman generates resources in society, but for her to claim some of those resources, whether it's time or money, then she's considered as being either materialistic or suddenly becomes high maintenance.
And on that note, why is it harmful to label women as high maintenance? Is it a, is it linked to stereotypes that persist in our society?
Yeah, so definitely they're harmful in a way, right? Because, you know, as I said, you know, in culture and tradition, it's the self-sacrificial nature that is kind of exalted over women, right? So the thing is, when this woman decides that these resources are her own, then she becomes selfish or modded, you know. So there's definitely the division between the good woman and the bad woman that's happening when this label occurs, right? And stereotypes, you know, whether they're harmful or not, I mean, they need to be changed, right? And women and girls themselves, I mean, we ourselves need to understand that we are deserving of resources, you know, whether it's time and money within the household or whether at the workplace. And it's to spend the money on ourselves without being guilt-ridden. Right. So for some, you know, whether it's a little everyday luxury like a, you know, nice a meal out in a restaurant or to buy a nice dress or in my case, like a nice sari that I like or, you know, a beautiful handbag or a piece of jewelry or even to spend time on self-development, whether you're going for yoga or meditation or taking time to, you know, go for a walk or to take a hike. Right. I mean, because those are resources as well, which women deny themselves, or doing an advanced degree, right? I mean, like you can see like many people for, especially now during the times of COVID-19, they may spend their time and their money on pursuing an advanced degree or some sort of skills-based course, which they pay money for, you know. So, but these are things, often choices that women have denied themselves because they've been told or, you know, society has reinforced that they shouldn't claim these resources for ourselves, right? So I think that that's a stereotype that needs to definitely be changed.
And you know, Siva, all of this tends to happen in the context of a relationship. You know, for example, if a woman spends time for herself, you know, is that time that she could have spent with her partner or family instead? So how can this impact that relationship and any other possible power imbalances that might emerge?
Yeah, I think that this is a very interesting conversation because, you see, often we think that a relationship is something that develops between two individuals, right? And as long as, but the relationship has a context, right? So it has a social context. And in that social context, we have to look at, again, you know, we go back to the idea of like, you know, do women in a relationship, are they being told that they actually have freedom to handle their earnings in a way that they can, or do they have to kind of put their money into a common pool, right? Or, you know, are they able to hold property or make investment decisions for themselves? Are they able to spend on themselves? So these are things that are constantly need to be negotiated, right? And there is this entire socio-cultural baggage that comes in both a man and a woman. Of course, we're defining the relationship to be very heteronormative sense. between a man and a woman, right? So, you know, and both of them are interacting not only with each other, but two socio-cultural systems are interacting with each other, right? So definitely in many of the cases, we resort to what we already know rather than as individuals forge a new type of relationship with each other, right? The idea that men can always look at the woman in the relationship and say like, oh, well, why are you not doing X, Y, and Z, you know, in this relationship to, in order to be a good mother, a good wife? And this is something that we see repeated, you know, all over Twitter in many times, right? And I think that that's where we type of power imbalance becomes manifest, right? Because socially, men have been given that type of privilege in the relationship over women. And hence, in that position of privilege, their right to their own individual time, their right to retreat to what we understand as the man cave, right? Or hang out with the boys, which sometimes is often seen as networking for work purposes. These are all just givens for them. But the given for a woman in the relationship is, oh, you leave the office at 5 p.m. and then you go back home because you need to take care of the household because that is your primary domain, you know, and it's your primary domain because you can't have that house if you didn't have the man. You know, you have to take care of the family because these are the things that actually give you the security in society, right? So I think that this is where the power imbalance becomes clear. And then from there, again, the power imbalance to claim whatever resources are within that marriage or whatever resources are within that household.
And this also ties back to what we saw recently on social media, where there was a tweet that went viral and they were talking about, you know, a family that was still holding up patriarchal practices and treating women as less than equal within the family unit. And that also, you know, created a lot of conversation online about these norms that continue to be reinforced in our society.
Yes. And I think that that Twitter thread was about this Park Long, right, who was talking about how a man who was sharing this experience of how his uncle used to run his household in a manner that where the men were treated very nicely, I mean, quote unquote, in the sense that they were served first and the women would like eat last and, you know, and they were served while they were eating. And, you know, so it opens up many conversations because this is, you know, we are living in a kind of a generational shift, right? So we came from a time where, you know, these women were within the household and their power was over the household. And now with access to education and higher education and access to the workplace, that women are finding that, hey, I'm also bringing resources into this family, you know, and because I'm bringing resources into this family and I work equally hard outside of the home, and then there are things that are happening in the home that I'm also expected to have responsibility, you know, complete responsibility for the housework, right? Or the care work that's happening at home. So, and that's where these conversations are being negotiated. So this idea of like share equally the house burden, you know, or share equally in the responsibilities as well as the resources in the household. This is how it's occurring.
So coming back to, you know, what got this conversation started, which was Mariah Carey's interview with The Guardian, you know, she fully embraced that, you know, she is high maintenance, that she's earned it at this point in her life. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. And you know, and it's really surprising in the case of Mariah Carey, right? Because the money that she's spending on herself is actually her own money, right? So this is what meant, like, you know, when we go back to the idea of like property rights and coverture, right? So the woman's money is supposed to be spent on the, how do I say, the well-being of the household, and to be spending that money on yourself is seen as being something that is selfish or different or wrong, or, you know, only bad women do that, right? And I think that part of what Mariah Carey was saying was that, you know, hey, you know, I've worked hard for this success and I demand that people, you know, respect me for it, or they treat me nicely. I mean, this is what is evolving into, right? That we can actually say, hey, I need to be respected as a person because I want you to recognize the fact that I have worked hard for my success and I've gotten to where I am because of that hard work. And why do you say that then I'm high maintenance? But this is what is the other thing, right? I mean, because we want women to work hard. We want them to succeed. But, you know, their successes often have to kind of be tied back to the house and the family in many instances, right? A woman who is successful in her own right and shines as a person in her own right is very often seen as taking the limelight, right? And there are all these notions of, like, you know, how a diva should be. And these women are called divas. I mean, they're no longer high maintenance, but they're divas, right?
Yes.
And that diva label is also sometimes kind of applied to us other normal, ordinary women as well. And I think that I've read, like, you know, some of these places where these diva stars, you know, they expect to go into a dressing room and that dressing room needs to be, you know, have particular kinds of flowers they like, or, you know, has to have a certain sort of scent sprayed in it, or needs to have like chocolates. But, you know, those things are a norm for men in so many ways, right? In all of the other advice that we see in magazines and in literature, where it says, like, oh, make sure the house is neat before your husband comes back. Make sure that, you know, you're tidily attired and, you know, you look nice, you know, and you open the door with a smiling face instead of sulky face or whatever. This advice that is always given out to women on a daily basis never ever asks us to look at the men in our lives and say, hey, maybe this man, you know, he's a little bit high maintenance for me, you know, I can't handle this type of man, you know. So it's very interesting that this happens, you know, because we never look at what really does high maintenance mean, you know. So for me, I feel like systems like, you know, the entire economic system that rests on the unpaid care work of women. I mean, that for me is a high maintenance system because it makes us do so many things. It reduces our labor. It reduces the worth of our time. It reduces our value, essentially, you know, to hold up this entire economic system. But we don't think that that's high maintenance. So we need to apply the label high maintenance to these systems that are really, you know, not worth maintaining anymore, I think.
All right. Thank you for thanks for that, Siva. That was the executive director of the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Center for Women, or ARRO, Siva Nandithanindaran, sharing her thoughts on this whole idea of us tending to call women high maintenance without realizing that we don't really say that very much often to men.
That's right.
Yeah, and we have a poll running over on our Twitter page at BFM Radio, and we asked you, do you find that there are some words or phrases that are subtly sexist? So right now, 75% of y'all say yes, while about 25% of y'all say no. And we've got loads of comments. So our very own Shawik said, not so much a single phrase, but the concept that female bosses are difficult to deal with. And then there is at M... Ibrahim 5, who said that time of the month. Yes, that's something that's often used. At Po Chon said Lassie. Margaret Wing said her indoors, which is a very common British phrase. Sing Yu said bossy. Another one who said bossy is Shahriza Zainal. She says, yes, bossy, emotional, hormonal. Rare that these words are used on males.
That's true,
yeah. And Annette Ranita says, bachelor versus spinster.
Very right.
And Mei Ling Chin says, well, I can't read that word on air, as Sue Ann said, we are family-friendly station.
But I'm reminding you both we are.
But think of a female dog and add a Y at the back. And, oh yeah, we have got one more here by at Key KL, who says, many more good and low-maintenance women around, they even help men lower their high-maintenance habits.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. I don't think that high maintenance means necessarily bad, because, you know, that connotation is that if you're low maintenance, you're good. I don't think that's a correlation that's necessarily correct, but to each their own.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a few WhatsApps as well. So Mohammad Irfan says, we are living in a parallel universe. It's high maintenance for women. And when it's referring to men, it's metrosexual. And then, okay, and we have one who says, for me, high maintenance is the PG-13 term for people using their money and power to get away by being bad humans to anyone and everyone.
I see.
But I guess what we're trying to get at is that even if someone is considered high maintenance, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are being bad humans while doing that. You know, you can know what you want to indulge yourself and you can know what you want, but still be kind to others around you.
That's right.
Yep. And finally, we have one from Maggie who says some sexist terms include the taming of the shrew and noisy like fishwives.
I've never heard of the term fishwives before. I must go and look that up. But I mean, what about you guys? Do you think the term high maintenance is, do you like that term? I mean, why or why not?
I mean, I'd never really given much thought to it before this, but, you know, reading up on this, you know, reading all these responses that people are having, it really shows that, you know, a lot of these things, we use it casually, we just throw it in a conversation, we don't realize that it has, you know, you are subtly reinforcing these ideas. And in this case, you know, it has that impression that, you know, if you're high maintenance means you're demanding more than you should,
mm-hmm.
when in reality, maybe that's what people might think that they deserve, you know, that they've earned their place to ask for things that they want.
Yeah, and it really bugs me as well, because what really bugs me in particular is that, like we were discussing earlier, it's not a term that is widely or ever, I've never heard the term used to describe men, you know, but a lot of times you hear it to describe girls who like to, or women who like to dress up or like, you know, again, like Sue Ann mentioned, like we've been talking, it's about if women know what they want, it doesn't mean that they are bad people or they are demanding for things they shouldn't be. Because if they are using their own money, which they have worked hard for, why does it matter? As long as they are kind to everyone.
Yeah. And in the case of Mariah Carey, she's definitely earned it. She definitely has the money. And if she wants to make those demands and she's paying people for it, why not? But, you know, if you to let us know how you feel, you know, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. I'm afraid, though, we've run out of time for today's show. But if you'd like to drop us a message, you can always look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture and drop us a message there. And if you missed this show or any part of the previous show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find us on the BFM app and we're also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., Dash will be sticking around and he's going to be discussing Saudi Arabia, which is going through some seemingly progressive societal changes. But, you know, are these just a mark of a shift in sociopolitics or is the country just, you know, putting up a facade? So Dash will be discussing this with James Dorsey, the senior fellow of the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. So do stay tuned for that. For now, we are going to sign off. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.